Have you ever sat in your instructor's office, staring at a chart of VFR weather minimums, and thought, there is no way I'm memorizing all of this? You're not alone. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar, and this is one of those regulations that trips up students, frustrates certificated pilots, and shows up on every single check ride in one form or another. Federal Aviation Regulation 9155 Basic VFR Weather Minimums. It sounds dry, it sounds like something you cram for the written and forget. But here's the thing. This regulation is not about passing a test. It is about keeping you alive when the sky starts closing in around you, and you need to know right now whether you can legally and safely keep flying. So let's walk through this together, and I'm going to give you a framework that actually sticks. No more flipping to the back of your kneeboard every time someone asks you what the cloud clearances are in Class Echo above 10,000 feet. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's start with the why. Why do VFR weather minimums even exist? The whole point is see and avoid. If you're a VFR pilot, your primary method of traffic separation is your eyeballs. Air traffic control is not keeping you away from other airplanes the way they do for IFR traffic. You're doing that yourself. And to do that, you need two things. You need enough visibility to spot traffic, and you need enough distance from clouds so that an airplane doesn't come screaming out of a cloud right in front of you with no time to react. That's it. That is the entire philosophy behind this regulation. Everything else is just details about how much visibility and how much cloud clearance you need, and those details change based on where you are and how high you are. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. Stop trying to memorize the chart as a grid. Instead, think about it in layers. There are really only three situations you need to understand, and once you get the logic behind each one, the numbers make sense on their own. Layer 1. Controlled airspace. Class Bravo, Charlie, Delta, and Echo below 10,000 feet mean sea level. This is where most of us spend our time. The basic rule here is 3 miles visibility, and cloud clearances of 1,000 above, 500 below, and 2,000 horizontal. 3152. Some people remember this as 3152, like a radio frequency. Others say 1,500, 2,000, and picture a cloud with a bubble around it. Find whatever works for you. The key is that these numbers are the same across Charlie, Delta, and Echo below 10,000. That is one set of numbers covering a huge chunk of the airspace you fly in. Now, Class Bravo is the exception. In Bravo, the cloud clearance requirement is simply clear of clouds. Not 1,000 above, not 500 below, just stay out of them. And the visibility is still 3 statute miles. Why the relaxed cloud clearance? Because in Bravo airspace, everyone is talking to approach control. Everyone has a transponder. ATC is providing separation services. The risk of someone popping out of a cloud unannounced is much lower. So the FAA says, fine, just stay clear of the clouds, keep 3 miles vis, and let us handle the spacing. That is an important concept. The busier and more controlled the airspace, the more help you have, so sometimes the cloud clearance is actually less restrictive. It seems backward until you think about it. Layer 2. Class Echo above 10,000 feet means sea level. This is where things get more conservative, and there is a good reason. Above 10,000 feet, airplanes are moving faster. A lot faster. A Cessna 172 might be doing 110 knots down low, but jets transitioning through Class Echo at 12,000 feet could be doing 300 knots or more. At those speeds, you need more time to see and react. So the visibility goes up to 5 statute miles, and the cloud clearance becomes 1,000 above, 1,000 below, and 1 full statute mile horizontally. 5 miles viz, 111. Some people call it the 5 and 1s, easy to remember because everything goes up. The examiner is looking for you to explain why the minimums change, not just recite the numbers. If you can articulate that faster traffic at higher altitudes requires greater separation, you are showing the kind of aeronautical decision-making they want to see. Layer 3. Uncontrolled airspace. Class Golf. This is where students get confused, because Class Golf has different rules for day versus night, and it splits at 1,200 feet above the ground. During the day in Class Golf at or below 1,200 feet above the surface, the requirement is just 1 statute mile visibility and clear of clouds. That's it. No specific cloud clearance distances, 1 mile and clear of clouds. Why so relaxed? Because down low in uncontrolled airspace, you are typically over rural areas. Traffic density is low. Everyone is going relatively slow and you can see the terrain. The thinking is that 1 mile of visibility and staying out of the clouds gives you enough to work with, but here's where it gets important. At night in Class Golf below 1,200 feet, the minimums jump up to 3 miles visibility and 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. The same cloud clearances as controlled airspace. because at night, your ability to see and avoid is dramatically reduced. The FAA is saying, look, if you're going to fly VFR at night, down low in uncontrolled airspace, you need a bigger buffer.
Above 1,200 feet in class golf, whether day or night, the minimums are 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal, and 3 miles visibility during the day but 5 miles at night. And above 10,000 feet means sea level in class golf. It's the same 5 statute miles and 111 cloud clearances as class echo above 10,000, because the same speed factor applies regardless of whether the airspace is controlled or not. Now, let me give you a real scenario. You are planning a cross-country from a class Delta airport. Your route takes you through class echo airspace, mostly around 4,500 feet. The weather briefing says visibility is 6 miles with a scattered layer at 3,000 and a broken layer at 5,500. Can you make that flight? Think about it. You need 3 miles visibility. You have 6. Check. You need 1,000 feet above clouds. Your broken layer is at 5,500 and you're at 4,500. That is only 1,000 feet below the clouds, not above. But wait, the requirement is 1,000 above and 500 below. So you need 500 feet below the clouds. 5,500 minus 4,500 equals 1,000 feet. You have 1,000 feet between you and the bottoms of those broken clouds. You need 500. You're legal. But here's the decision-making part. Legal does not mean smart. 1,000 feet below a broken layer means you could hit a lower-hanging cloud that is part of that layer. Broken means 5 through 7/8 coverage. That is a lot of sky covered by clouds. If those cloud bases are uneven, you could find yourself closer to the clouds than you expected. A safer choice might be to fly at 4,000 feet and give yourself a little more room, or pick a different altitude entirely. This is what separates a pilot who knows the regulation from a pilot who uses the regulation. The numbers in 9155 are minimums. They are the floor, not the target.
Here is another scenario that trips people up. You are flying VFR and the visibility starts dropping. You launched with 10 miles and now you're down to 4. Are you legal in class echo below 10,000 feet? Yes, you need 3. But you started with 10 and lost 6 miles of visibility in a short time. That trend matters more than the number. If the visibility is dropping, what is it going to be in 20 minutes? In 40 minutes? The regulation gives you a number, but good aeronautical decision-making asks you to think ahead of the airplane. Let me talk about one more piece of this regulation that students overlook. Special VFR. When the weather at a controlled airport drops below basic VFR minimums, you can request a special VFR clearance to operate in the surface area of that airspace with just 1 statute mile visibility and clear of clouds. But you have to request it. ATC cannot offer it to you, and at night, you need an instrument rating and an instrument-equipped aircraft to fly special VFR. That is in 91.157, but it connects directly to what we are talking about, because it is the exception that proves the rule. When the weather goes below VFR minimums, you do not just push on and hope. You either get a special VFR clearance, file IFR, or you stay on the ground. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Checkride specifically test your understanding of weather minimums under the task for airspace and also under pre-flight planning. The examiner might describe a scenario and ask whether you can legally make the flight, but they are also going to ask what you would do. That second question is where pilots pass or fail. Knowing the numbers gets you through the oral. Applying judgment is what makes you a pilot.
So here is your framework one more time. In controlled airspace below 10,000 feet, 3 miles and 1,500, 2,000. Except Bravo, which is 3 miles and clear of clouds. Above 10,000 anywhere, 5 miles and 111. In uncontrolled airspace below 1,200 feet during the day, 1 mile and clear of clouds. At night or above 1,200, it tightens up to match controlled airspace minimums, and the logic behind all of it is see and avoid. Faster traffic needs more buffer. Less control needs more buffer. Night needs more buffer. If you remember the logic, the numbers follow. This one came from the source itself. Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations Part 91, and a lot of great discussion I have had with checkride examiners over the years about what they actually want to hear. Swing by RadioHangar.com if you want more. That is all for today. Next time the weather is marginal and you're staring at the sky trying to decide, remember the logic, not just the chart. Fly safe, see you next time.